the world is a brighter place with the Yola Nash Show.
Hey, it's Yola Nash. Welcome to the Yola Nash Show. On 77 WABC Radio New York, the number one talk radio station in the country. I'm so excited to be with all of you today, and thank you so much for tuning in and allowing me to entertain you, and I hope this show will give you an escape from your busy work days. And one more thing, please don't forget to tell your friends about the Yola Nash Show. Every weekend, I bring the world's biggest stars and the greatest experts all for you. And let's talk about today's episode. I'm so happy to let you know that I have a great story of hope, told by Aaron Wolf, who is an amazing film director, producer, actor. He will take you behind the scenes of his highly anticipated new film entitled Restoring Tomorrow. And then a great surprise, get ready to laugh with a hilarious stand-up comedian and actor, Mas Jobrani. And of course, as always, I would love to summarize the show with some beautiful poetry presented by Fela Siderbaum, the amazing poet, writer, and artist. So I invite you, go to manodano.com and check out her beautiful art. And now I can only say one thing, don't go anywhere. Stick around and enjoy the show.
Listen why the world's biggest stars love talking to Yola Nash on WABC Radio, The Yola Nash Show.
I'm so excited to introduce my great guest, an award-winning, incredible actor, director, producer. Please welcome to the show the multi-talented Aaron Wolf. So happy to have you on the show.
I hear the clapping. Thank you for having me, Yola. It's a pleasure to be on the show.
And being an actor and a producer, director is basically all about telling a story. Please tell me how this great passion of yours was born.
Yeah, it is all storytelling. It's all different forms of storytelling. And storytelling can take on so many different voices, and there's so many different ways to tell stories. And for me, it's always been film. Film has always been my passion. I think when I was 7, I started reading the Hollywood Reporter and Variety magazine instead of children's books.
Right.
Because I found the entertainment industry so interesting. My father was a speechwriter at the Walt Disney Company for a number of years. He wrote corporate speeches, and he'd bring those magazines home. And so I'd read them, and I just fell in love with this industry. Then I think when I was 8, I joined a youth theater group, and I was the Tin Man in The Wizard of Oz. I remember that one.
Oh, wow.
And I just fell in love with this storytelling, with the idea that we can create stories and that they can be told in this medium called film, and they can live on. And all of a sudden, once they're done, no matter what I do the rest of my life, that film lives on.
Yes, and let's talk about your new film, Restoring Tomorrow. I heard that it took like 4 years to get it done, which is a great commitment. And please tell me, how did this project come about?
Yeah, the project came about in one of the most interesting of ways, where it was at a time when I was really down, actually. I was supposed to get married, and the marriage fell apart about a month before the wedding.
Oh, no.
So it got called off, and it's interesting. It's one of those things where at the time I thought my life was ruined and everything was so terrible. And
yes.
And then I went and met with my rabbi, Rabbi Steve Leder, and he told me, why don't you make some little snippets, some pieces about what we're trying to do at our temple,
mm-hmm.
which is to restore it because it was falling apart. He put me to work. And so that's what I did. I wanted to find some sort of meaning in the wake of something that was a depressing thing. So I started making these snippets, and then around 6 months in, I started to realize, man, there's a bigger story here. I'm starting to feel really connected to my family, to my faith, to my roots, to my culture. And so I turned the camera on me, and I said, you know, I'm not doing this to do anything more than serve as a microcosm, because I think other people might be able to relate to me as a younger person coming back to their place and seeing, whoa, when we come to these places, which is what Restoring Tomorrow is all about. Mm-hmm. When we come to these places, when we embrace in community, when we embrace in culture, when we embrace in faith, and whatever word you might associate with faith, atheists can still have faith, I promise you. But whatever that might be, that culture that brings us together, you go to that place, you learn good, you go out and make the world a better place.
Wow, that's so beautiful. And it's just perfect timing for a story like that. And the temple that you just mentioned is strongly connected to Hollywood history as well, and strongly connected to your family, right?
Yeah, my grandfather escaped Nazi Germany and came to the U.S. And in the movie, we tell the story in more detail, and I think people will gasp when they hear it. Mm-hmm. And again, the movie's going to be, just so everyone knows, it'll be on November 13th for one night. It's going to be in theaters across the nation, and we're going to be giving a portion of the proceeds to the families of the victims in Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. because of the terrible heinous horror that happened in Pittsburgh. We're going to be giving a piece of the proceeds on November 13th to that cause. And what is so important about what we're doing on November 13th is we're showing this film, and then we're gathering leaders, famous leaders that you'll see from around the country, of all religions, of all faiths, of all backgrounds, to have a discussion afterwards about how we come together, mm-hmm. about how we grieve, and about how we feel hope in this crazy world that we live in right now.
Yes.
And so it is more important than ever, because it's a lot easier when people, don't you think, when people love and embrace instead of hate and feel anger?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there's also a very personal, I would say, layer to your movie, because definitely you have learned something about yourself while filming this unique project, right?
Yeah, I've learned a ton about myself. I've learned that the bumps in the road mm-hmm. of life are actually gifts. And if we can overcome those bumps, we come out the other end stronger than ever. And I think the ending of the film will surprise you, but you'll see how that works. And why and how. Oh, and I forgot to answer one thing that you said about Hollywood history.
So yes.
This temple is all the original Hollywood deals. You think, oh, where were they made? They were made at the Brown Derby, or they were made at one of these famous restaurants. Well, a lot of them were made at this temple.
Wow.
Because the people who founded the temple, who built this building, were the Warner Brothers, were Louis B. Mayer, were Samuel Goldwyn, the leaders, the Irving Thalberg, these original founders of the industry that we now call Hollywood, they built this building.
And talking about embracing our cultures and religions and you know, coming together as communities, I found out that your grandfather worshipped with John Paul II when he came in here, and it was just so beautiful. So it's just right there, gives us this new layer to this whole story.
Yeah, but wow. He spoke with the Pope when the Pope visited Los Angeles,
mm-hmm.
and there was they wanted a Jewish representative from the country and from the city to speak with the Pope, so he got to meet him and talk to him, and we show a piece of that footage in the film. And what is so interesting about my grandfather, and I hope he's looking down smiling right now,
yes,
in the wake of all the hatred that's going on in our country, is he came from a place with the most hatred, Nazi Germany, and his message, his life lesson and journey was all about interfaith and bringing people of all faiths together and showing that the root of faith is goodness. And he came from a place where that did not exist, and he wanted to show how the United States is a place where it can exist. And that's why when I hear about things like what happened in Pittsburgh, I immediately want to give, and I want this to be about feeling hope in our country and giving back, because his mission was that. And so I, in a tiny, tiny way, want to carry on that with what I'm doing, because mm-hmm. this country is not about hate. It is not about hating our neighbors. It's about embracing our neighbors and embracing our differences and having dialogue and having discussion and not judging.
I absolutely agree. And what do you want audiences to come away with when they come to see Restoring Tomorrow?
What I want, and it's interesting because you also mentioned that you have a connection to the Pope. So I love that people go into the movie and come away with their own connections. And so I want everyone, when they see this, to take away whatever piece resonates most with you. There's lots of different messages in the film. But the overall emphasis is about hope and about feeling good and about rallying your community wherever you live to go out and do good and make the world a better place and embrace your neighbor. And if people can do some form of that after seeing this film, then I think we've done our job. And I call it the collage of community, where we take down the state borders, we take down those lines that we've drawn, and we're going to fill it with pictures of people around the country on Tuesday, November 13th. And you can go on Fathom or Restoring Tomorrow's website and buy tickets, buy groups of tickets, and then you're giving money to the victims too, because you're doing that. And we're going to create this collage of community in our country. So it's all people from all backgrounds together doing something positive, going to see this film, giving back to the people of Pittsburgh, and then going, hopefully going out. Send me your pictures. I'm the Aaron Wolf, TheAaronWolf on Twitter and all social. Send me your pictures, and I'm going to add them to this collage of community when I go on TV, and I'm going to show it. I'm going to say, look, this is what the United States was for my grandfather when he immigrated here, and this is what the United States is for me now in 2018, and it always should be.
Mm-hmm. So, Aaron, again, where can people find out more about the movie and you? Let's say it again.
Okay, sure, yes. If you go to Fathom, which is F-A-T-H-O-M, and type in Restoring Tomorrow, which is the name of the movie, you can look up your zip code, just put in your zip code, and you can find tickets near you. And then the movie is Restoring Tomorrow on Facebook, or Restoring Movie, I think, is the handle on Instagram and Twitter. And then for me personally, if you want to ask me a question or follow me, see what I'm doing, I'm The Aaron Wolf, TheAaronWolf on all social platforms.
And Aaron, let's mention that the film has been shortlisted for the Academy Awards, am I right?
Yes, we have been shortlisted for the Academy Awards, and so we have a chance to be one of the nominated films. I'm not going to lie, to get nominated for an Academy Award would be amazing. So
yes.
As much as it's not something that drives me, man, it would feel good.
Well, we wish you the best of success, and I'm so happy that you found a moment in your busy schedule to be on the show and tell us about this incredible movie of yours, Restoring Tomorrow. Thank you so much again. Aaron Wolf, everybody.
Thank you so much.
Intimate conversations with some of the world's biggest stars, only on the Yola Nash Show on WABC Radio. Tune in every weekend.
There is more, yes, but now we have to take a quick break, and we will be right back.
Internationally award-winning medical doctor and scientist Dr. Stan Brzezinski holds 244 patents registered in 35 countries. A regular in the media, including Oprah, Dr. Oz, CNN, NBC, PBS, Fox, CBS, and more, Dr. Brzezinski discovered a non-toxic and gentle treatment for cancer.
1 year after starting Dr. Brzezinski's treatment, UCLA pronounced me in remission. Dr. Brzezinski saved my life.
Perhaps Dr. Brzezinski has found the medical breakthrough of the century. Certainly a wealth of empirical data hints at that possibility.
Don't miss Dr. Stan Brzezinski on the Yola Nash Show to hear about his groundbreaking alternative gene-targeted cancer treatment and the renowned Brzezinski Clinic. Dr. Brzezinski has saved the lives of thousands of terminally ill patients from around the world.
I am Dr. Stan Brzezinski. I have dedicated my entire career of over 40 years to cancer research and treatment. My mission is to help save as many lives as possible.
For more information or schedule a consultation, go to BrzezinskiClinic.com or call 800-714-7181. That's 800-714-7181. Don't miss Dr. Brzezinski on the Yola Nash Show.
And now I think we are ready for my next guest.
Yola Nash, the next celebrity interview.
I'm super excited to introduce my fantastic guest. He's one of the greatest stand-up comedians in the world. He's also an amazing actor, best-selling author, writer, producer, and he is joining me now on The Yola Nash Show. Please welcome to the show my favorite stand-up comedian in the world, Maz Jobrani. Bravo!
Oh, thank you for having me, Yola. Thank you so much.
And I have to tell you, I absolutely love your brilliant talent and your way of seeing things, and love your dance moves on stage as well. Oh my gosh, you're amazing. I must confess, I have seen your specials maybe like 50 times or more.
Oh my God.
Yes.
You're the kind of fan I love.
I'm addicted. But my first question is, what do you love about being a comedian?
Gosh, that's a big question. I love being a comedian because, you know, I fell in love with stand-up comedy when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. Growing up in Northern California, I was a big fan of Eddie Murphy back then. He was the biggest stand-up in the world. And it was just fun to watch him have fun on stage and be funny and make people laugh, and he seemed to be laughing himself. So I started doing plays, and I realized that I love being on stage. So I really do love being on stage. I love being in front of a live audience. I love being able to talk about whatever's on my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they say stand-up can be like therapy. You get things off your chest in front of a large audience. So there's a lot of things I love about stand-up. I mean, I really always count my blessings. I'm really lucky to be able to do what I love to do and make a living doing it.
Mm-hmm. And it's a great therapy for us as well.
Yeah.
I always, every time I feel, you know, a little down or overwhelmed with life, I just put a Master Brandy on and it works.
You're too sweet.
And talking about being on stage and being in the movies, is it true that you started your career in movies playing Middle Eastern characters, including like a terrorist in Chuck Norris film?
Yeah, you know, early on in my career, because I was born in Iran and I grew up in America. So early on in my career, when I first started acting in Hollywood, the types of auditions you would get quite often tended to be those auditions for the terrorist part of the bad guy.
And, wow.
Yeah, I did do, you know, I had a day job in the, this is around the year 2000. I had a day job in an advertising agency, and I was just looking for a break to be able to get, you know, quit my day job and get into acting and comedy full time. And at the time, this Chuck Norris movie of the week came along, and I played this Afghan terrorist in it. And it was a hard choice for me to first accept it, but it was so early in my career that I thought I had to accept it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I took the part, and I went to film, and I realized that I really didn't feel good doing it. It just made me feel bad. It made me feel like I was adding to the stereotype that's already out there of Middle Easterners being bad guys and terrorists and stuff. So I came back to Los Angeles after we filmed, and I told my agents I don't want to do any more terrorist parts, and they said okay. And then a little while later, the TV show 24 got in touch, and they said we have a terrorist part, and I said no thank you. And then they go he changes his mind halfway through the mission. I go, oh, the ambivalent terrorist, well that's interesting.
Wow.
So I did one more terrorist part, and then after that I stopped doing terrorist parts.
And you know what I love about you and your shows, that you always emphasize the importance of love and embracing each other as people, embracing our cultures, our nationalities, differences between us as women and men, and also you breaking all of these crazy stereotypes. And I'm just wondering, do you feel like this is kind of maybe a special mission for you in your stand-ups, to just like spread more love and just like, you know, make this world a little better place?
Yeah, you know, I grew up in Northern California, so I think I grew up kind of in an open-minded place, and I had friends from different backgrounds, and you realize how similar we are. I've had a chance to travel. That's one of the things I always encourage people to do, is travel the world, and you'll see how similar most people are from around the world, and how it's easy to villainize one group. Just like, for example, let's say the way we see right now with immigrants. I always emphasize that immigrants actually come to America because they love America.
Yes.
And most immigrants make America a better place. So mm-hmm. with that kind of stuff in mind, I just try to have fun with my audience. You know, we laugh with each other, and I love having a diverse crowd. It really is interesting to me. I love learning about different people and different cultures. So I feel very good when I go to these shows and I have people from different backgrounds, and I feel that we're all open-minded to having an experience with a diverse group. You know, I mean, America's a diverse country, and it's going to just become more and more diverse. The world is now, a much smaller place. You can get from one country to another country much faster than we used to. I don't know why people don't want to embrace diversity. You got to embrace it. And I think some of it is just fear, but I encourage people, like, listen, if you're afraid of any given group, try and find a restaurant from that culture in your area, or the next time you travel somewhere, and go eat at their restaurant and see what they're like, and say hello and introduce yourselves. And you'll see that they're just normal people trying to live their lives and get through their lives, whether they're Arabs or Persians or Puerto Ricans or Mexicans or whatever.
Yes.
I mean, that's just what it is.
Mm-hmm. You know? Is there anything off limits during the Master Brownie show?
You know, for me, I don't like making fun of anyone who is handicapped or has some sort of physical disability. I feel that that's wrong. I mean, some comedians go there. I don't. I've always had a soft spot in my heart. They say punch up, make fun of people in power. That's why I do a lot of political material
mm-hmm.
nowadays. With Trump, there's so much to do.
Yeah. And you are constantly making us laugh on stage and, of course, behind the scenes. But who is making you laugh right now?
I got to tell you, my 7-year-old daughter is pretty funny. She's a funny, funny girl.
She has your talents, probably.
She's just funny. She's a character. And my 10-year-old son and I, we started watching Bob's Burgers on Hulu recently, and that's funny. I mean, there's a lot of great comedy out there. I watch Stephen Colbert religiously every night to kind of get an idea of what's going on in the news. You know, a lot of the stuff that I laugh at is political, but mm-hmm. then again, you know, things like Bob's Burgers or my daughter and these guys are just silly. So I love both. I love both ends of the spectrum, silly and political.
Oh, wow. And for those who are listening right now, be sure to check out Maz Jobrani's specials. They are absolutely hilarious and genius. And how many did you film so far?
Let me see. I think on Netflix, I've got 3 on there currently, and then I have a fourth solo one and a fifth one with the guys of the Access to Evil Comedy Tour. So there's 5 total.
Wow.
If people go on Netflix and watch Immigrant, that's the place to get their first foot into the Maz Jobrani comedy world, and then they can go from there.
Mm-hmm. And we are so excited because you are coming to New Jersey. You'll be performing at New Jersey Performing Arts Center, NJPAC, in Newark, New Jersey, Saturday, November 17th at 7 p.m. So everyone, don't miss the amazing Maz Jobrani on stage again on November 17th at 7 p.m. at NJPAC in Newark, New Jersey. And for tickets, go to njpac.org, njpac.org, or mazjobrani.com, or call the box office, and the number is 888-466-5722, and get your tickets today before it's too late. And Maz, I'd love to ask you also, please give us your social media handles.
Absolutely. Everything on social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, it's all at Maz Jobrani. That's MAZJOBRANI. So it's all at Maz Jobrani. I'm very active on social.
Thank you so, so much. We can't wait to see you on stage. Maz Jobrani, everybody.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
Internationally award-winning medical doctor and scientist, Dr. Stan Brzezinski, holds 244 patents registered in 35 countries. A regular in the media, including Oprah, Dr. Oz, CNN, NBC, PBS, Fox, CBS, and more, Dr. Brzezinski discovered a non-toxic and gentle treatment for cancer.
1 year after starting Dr. Brzezinski's treatment, UCLA pronounced me in remission. Dr. Brzezinski saved my life.
Perhaps Dr. Brzezinski has found the medical breakthrough of the century. Certainly a wealth of empirical data hints at that possibility.
Don't miss Dr. Stan Brzezinski on the Yola Nash Show to hear about his groundbreaking alternative gene-targeted cancer treatment and the renowned Brzezinski Clinic. Dr. Brzezinski has saved the lives of thousands of terminally ill patients from around the world.
I am Dr. Stan Brzezinski. I have dedicated my entire career of over 40 years to cancer research and treatment. My mission is to help save as many lives as possible.
For more information or schedule a consultation, go to BrzezinskiClinic.com or call 800-714-7181. That's 800-714-7181. Don't miss Dr. Brzezinski on the Yola Nash Show.
And now it's time for my poetry corner and my favorite poet, Fela Cederbaum, a.k.a. Mano Dano, and her beautiful poetry. I must admit, it touches my heart all the time and it's incredible. And I absolutely encourage you to explore Fela's beautiful art. You will never ever regret it. So please check out her website, ManoDano.com, and also find her on Amazon.com, her new poetry book entitled Of Life and Other Such Matters. And now, here is Fela Cederbaum. Listen.
It's destiny, she said. And I thought, what does that really mean? Isn't everything destiny? I mean, when your dreams come true, you know it is destiny, for sure. When they burst apart like soap bubbles that had no future beyond a few seconds, a few moments of shimmering reflections. Yes, like that. When your dreams just blow apart and you find yourself crouched in a corner, on the floor, trying to assemble the pieces that you know belong together. Just when your dreams explode in your face and you feel God has forsaken you, when the divine appears to have exited, left your consciousness for good. Yes, right then they will say, it's destiny. And you wonder, what is that supposed to do? Make you feel like everything is in its right place? Well, the fact is, that nothing is ever in the wrong place. From the very beginning, everything can just unfold the way it does. What else could it do? So don't say it is destiny. Please, look into my eyes and let me feel your heart.
So beautiful. And I promise I'll feature Fela again on my next episode. Unfortunately, it's time to wrap up the show. Time flies. I know. But the only thing I can say now is don't miss my next episode. Let's do it again. You can listen live on Saturday 2 a.m. or Sunday 4 p.m. And if you missed any of my shows or any of your favorite stars, you can also visit WABCRadio.com podcast page and check out The Yola Nash Show. Follow me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. My handles are so easy to remember, Yola Nash or Yola Nash Show. So until next time, stay well, be happy. I'm Yola Nash.
This is 77 WABC, The Yola Nash Show.